Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 1st, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 5. Let's start at verse 7, the dissertation of the three witnesses. 1 John 5, starting at verse 7. And the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, that is, bears witness, confirms. And what is he testifying to? Well, the deity of Jesus Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the true humanity of Christ, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, and all of these things are what the false teachers, the Gnostics in John, they denied all of these things. So he says, and the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keeps on being aletheia, absolute truth. Verse 8, because there are three who give true testimony, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the water and the blood. And the three witnesses are in agreement. Verse 9, if we accept the witness, the testimony of men, and we do from first class condition from time to time, we do. Then the witness, the testimony of God in the Word of God is greater, infinitely greater. And that's as far as we've gone in our exegesis at this point. So verse 8 says, because there are three who give true testimony. Pneuma, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and this is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the writing of Scripture. Secondly, kai ta hudor, and the water. And the water is personified, a witness giving true testimony. And the water includes the baptism of Christ when God the Father spoke from heaven and declared, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:16-17. And the water also refers to the water of the Word of God and the prophetic scriptures in the Old Testament concerning the incarnation and the virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, Micah 5:2, Isaiah 53:5-6. And the third witness, Kai Ta Haima, and the blood. And the blood is also personified, a witness giving true testimony. And the blood refers to the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So verse 8 again says, because there are three who give true testimony, the Spirit and the water and the blood. The Holy Spirit has a very special title in the scriptures. The title is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Aletheia. A-L-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Now, aletheia is not just the word truth, it's the word absolute truth. God the Holy Spirit has a very special title. The title is the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of Absolute Truth. This title is given to the Holy Spirit in John 14:15-17, in John 15:26, in John 16:13-14. Therefore, God the Holy Spirit is perfect veracity. He has the attribute of infinite absolute truth, and therefore he gives true testimony. Through his inspiration ministry, the water of the Word of God is absolute truth and gives true testimony. The blood of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, is absolute truth and gives true testimony. And then in verse 9, we're only halfway through the exegesis, but here is the superiority of the three witnesses. So far we have exegeted, if we accept the witness, the testimony of men, and first class condition, from time to time we do listen to people and believe what they say. If we accept the witness or testimony of men, first class condition, and we do, the witness, the testimony of God in the Word of God is greater. God's testimony is infinitely greater than man's testimony. The Word of God is God's testimony. Now, when you have people you associate with, you have your friends and family and so on, and you'll listen to them, and from time to time you'll believe what they say. And other times you won't believe what they say. And if they're a Democrat, you never believe what they say. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't in there, but thought I'd add it. The Word of God is God's testimony. If we listen to what people say and accept it, and from time to time we do, then when we listen to what God says, we accept it because it's absolute truth. God is infinitely greater than man. God is perfect. Man is imperfect. God is veracity, infinite truth. God is not a man that he should lie. God levels with us with absolute truth from his word. If you are living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, if you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will accept the testimony of God that he has revealed in his word. However, if you are living in Satan's cosmic system, then you will not accept God's testimony in His Word. And the principle is this: arrogant people are unteachable. They will listen to anything that a false teacher has to say, but they will not accept the truth, God's testimony, in His Word. So again, so far, and Trent and verse 9 sounds like this: if we accept the witness or the testimony of man, and from time to time, first class condition, and we do, the witness or testimony of God in the Word of God is greater, infinitely greater. And now we go on in verse 9, for this is the witness of God. And we have the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular feminine of hutas plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the nominative singular of marturia with the definite article plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. The conjunction ha ti, well, here it's a causal conjunction. H-O-T-I. Causal conjunction, and is correctly translated because. And then we have the near demonstrative pronoun. The near demonstrative pronoun is hutas. H-O-U-T-O-S, hutas. The near demonstrative is translated this. The to-be verb is eimi, is, and then marturia. We have this a lot in this passage. Marturia. Looks like that in the Greek, M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. Marturia. And marturia means witness or testimony, and it is the witness or testimony, genitive singular of theos, of God, God the Father. So the corrected translation, because this is the witness of God, God the Father, which He hath testified of His Son. And we have the conjunction ha ti again, plus the perfect active indicative of martureo, plus the prepositional phrase peri, plus the genitive singular of huios without us. Okay, the first time we had last ha ti, it was a causal conjunction. However, how many times have you heard this? If it follows a verb of decendi, if it follows the verb of decendi, and martureo is a verb of decendi, verbs of decendi, verbs that of knowing and thinking and saying, martureo or testifying or witnessing, now it's not a causal conjunction. Now it introduces an object clause, and it should be translated that. And then we have martureo. So here's the noun, martyria, and here's the verb, martyrao. M-A-R-T-U-R-E, long O, martyrao. Martyrao means to bear witness or to testify concerning someone. In this case, the Father is testifying concerning His Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the preposition peri plus the genitive means about or concerning, about His Son, concerning His Son, genitive singular of huios, autos, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, because this is the witness of God, God the Father, that He has testified concerning His Son, the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we have a complete translation of verse 9. If we accept the witness or the testimony of men, and from time to time we do, first class condition, and we do, the witness or testimony of God in the Word of God is greater, infinitely greater, because this is the witness of God, God the Father, that He has testified, God the Father has testified concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, a couple of things. One, verse 9 now, the key verse, it looks backward and it looks forward. Looks two ways, looks backward and forward. Two, the backward reference is the testimony of the three witnesses in verses 7 and 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So the backward reference is the testimony of the three witnesses in verses 7 and 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Three, the forward reference will be to the witness of God given in verses 11 and 12. The forward reference will be to the witness of God that is given in verses 11 and 12. You say, well, what happened to verse 10? Good question. Four. But before we get to the witness of God in verses 11 and 12, verse 10 is a parenthesis. We have a parenthesis in verse 10. So if you don't have that in parentheses, why, put that in there. It's not a sin to mark in your Bible. Verse 10 is a parenthesis, where John draws a contrast. He is a contrast between believing and not believing the testimony concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 10 is the parenthesis where John draws a contrast between believing and not believing the testimony concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so now the parenthesis. He that believeth on the Son of God, and of course, all of you here this evening, I would dare say all of you, are in this category. You have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. He that believeth on the Son of God, this is the articular present active participle of pisteuo, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of huios with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Now, pisteuo, this is the key, and you understand that, those of you who have been faithful and assembling and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, this is the key for eternal salvation. Pisteuo, to believe. How do you receive the gift of eternal life? How do you receive eternal salvation? Is it by something you do as far as works go? Christ did all the work. You see, the plan of salvation is Operation Grace. Operation Grace means the Lord Jesus Christ did all the work. God the Father planned salvation. God the Son executed on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. God does all the work. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and then He judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. So when the grace gospel is given to mankind, to the unbeliever, God the Holy Spirit goes into the soul of that unbeliever and turns on a light so he can see the gospel, that this is true. He can see the issue of salvation. And he now, his volition, decides either to believe in Jesus Christ or not to believe in Christ. So when you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're placing your faith in the finished work. The finished work of Christ on the cross. He did all the work. And that's why the only thing you can do is believe what he did. Believe in what he paid the penalty for all of your sins. He was your substitute. He took your place. He took the judgment for the sins that you deserved. And therefore, he did all the work, and you simply place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Pisteuo. Believe. You believe in Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So the key is pisteuo, to believe in someone or something, to be convinced. And John and Paul and Peter, all the way through the scriptures, they all teach the same thing again and again and again and again. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Throughout the Gospel of John, John uses this in John 1, verse 12. He uses it in John 2, 11, in John 2, 23, in John 3, 15 and 16, in John 3, 18, in John 3, 36. Over and over and over again. Believe, believe, believe. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And the pisteuo is an articular participle. That means it's substantival. That means it functions like a noun. And so you would translate it, the one who believes. This is a noun. The one who believes. And then the preposition, eis, plus the accusative of huios, with the genitives of theos, in the Son of God. The one who believes in the Son of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, resulting in eternal salvation. So, the one who believes in the Son of God, the finished work of Christ on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point, he has the witness now in himself. Every one of you, you have the witness in yourself. Hath the witness in himself. This is the present active indicative of echo, plus the accusative singular of martyria with a definite article, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos. Echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. And echo means to have and to hold. It means to possess. Echo means to have as one's own. And when you combine it with the prepositional phrase anautos, it means to have within oneself. So here we have the verb to have and to hold, to possess something. And with the prepositional phrase anautos, it means to have within oneself. And what do you have within yourself? The martyria, the testimony, the witness within yourself. So en plus the dative singular of autos, in him, in himself. So, corrected translation, the one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has this testimony, this witness in himself. Okay? The one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has this testimony, this witness in himself. All right, a couple of things. One, the grace gospel. The grace gospel is the true gospel. The plan of salvation designed by God the Father is Operation Grace, because God does all the work and we receive the benefit. The grace gospel is the testimony of God to the whole world, to the whole human race. The grace gospel is the testimony of God to the whole world, to the whole human race. Two, when anyone, any place, anywhere, simply pistelwo, simply believe in the testimony of God by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He possesses eternal salvation. When anyone, any place, anywhere, simply believe in the testimony of God by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He possesses eternal salvation. Three, the person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ now has the witness in himself. The person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ now has the witness in himself. Four. 1 John 5:8 declares that there are three who give the true testimony of God: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and that includes His inspiration ministry of the God-breathed Scriptures. It includes the fact that He is the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of truth, John 14:15-17, John 15:26, John 16:13-14. He is the Spirit of absolute truth, the Spirit of Aletheia. It includes His common grace ministry to the unbeliever. For when the grace gospel is given to the unbeliever, you see, all you do, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're in full-time Christian service. Every one of you, you're in full-time Christian service. You represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your responsibility is give the grace gospel clearly. God the Holy Spirit takes it from then on. He is the sovereign person in charge of turning on the light inside the soul of that unbeliever. You give the grace gospel, the unbeliever turns on a light, and that unbeliever sees the issue for eternal salvation. That's the common grace ministry of the Spirit. His common grace ministry to the unbeliever turns on the light in his soul so that that unbeliever can see that the grace gospel is true, that salvation is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And then God the Holy Spirit, in His efficacious grace, takes the unbeliever's faith in Jesus Christ and makes it effective for eternal salvation. So, point four again, 1 John 5:8 declares that there are three who give the true testimony of God: the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the water of the Word, the grace gospel, once again putting the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of absolute truth and the inspiration of the grace gospel. And third, the blood puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union and His salvation work on the cross. On those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., when He was imputed with the sins of the whole world, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Jesus Christ, And then God the Father judged the sins of the whole world in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Point five, the one with positive volition to the testimony of God, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, now has this witness in himself, eternal salvation. The one with positive volition to the testimony of God, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, now has this witness in himself, eternal salvation. So the first part of our parenthesis is to the one who believes in Christ. The one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has this testimony, this witness in himself. Now in the rest of verse 10, we have the blasphemy of rejecting God's testimony. He that believeth not God. So we once again have the articular present active participle of pistelwo, but this time we have the negative me, plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article. Again, pistelwo means to believe in something or someone, to be convinced of something. And the articular participle, once again, is substantival. Once again, it functions as a noun. But this time we have the negative me, the one who does not believe. The one who does not believe. And then the dative singular of theos, God. The verb pistelwo takes a dative direct object. The one who does not believe in God. One. So this literally says the one who does not believe God. The one who does not believe the testimony of God. The one who rejects Jesus Christ as the Savior. Two, he has rejected God the Father's testimony concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the only Savior, the Redeemer. He has rejected God the Father's testimony concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the only Savior, the Redeemer. Three, he has rejected God's testimony. The testimony of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. He has rejected God's testimony. The testimony of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Four, the one who does not believe God includes all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you know, there are a lot of people, they have heard the gospel, and then they come back with, that's too easy. You have to do a lot of things. You have to do a lot of work. That's too easy just to believe. Well, it is easy for you as a member of the human race, but it cost God everything. It cost God everything. It cost the Father his Son, pouring out the sins of the world on His eternal Son. It cost the Father to judge His eternal Son for 3 hours. From 12 noon to 3 p.m. It cost Jesus Christ everything. He was the eternal Son of God. It cost Him to willingly, He left heaven and left glory. He took on true humanity. He went to a cross. He was imputed with the sins of the world. And then the Father judged those sins in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the word says, He roared like a lion. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It cost God everything. He did all the work. That's what grace is. It's the grace gospel. Salvation is by grace. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so here are people that have heard the gospel. Oh no, I don't believe that. That's too easy. You got to work. You got to do works. You got to do a lot of good things. Well, that's the devil's false gospel. Any works system is a false gospel. No one can be in heaven by your works. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when I hear someone say, oh, that's too easy, that's what grace is, sir. God made it easy for you, but it cost God everything. It cost the Father His Son. It cost the Son everything. He took your place. He took the judgment you deserve. He was your substitute. He did what He did. We'll never understand what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on the cross when the sins of the world were poured out on Him and judged. It cost Him everything. But He willingly did it so that you can have eternal salvation through simple faith in Jesus Christ. How great is that? How phenomenal is that? So the one who does not believe God includes all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. 5, the one who does not believe God's testimony, well, that's every unbeliever on the face of the earth. Six, the living and true God is a God of grace. It's a God. The living and true God is a God of grace. 7, God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. Eight, God made it possible for every member of the human race to have eternal salvation through the unlimited atonement of Christ on the cross. First John 2, verse 2 says, and He Himself, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, the one who believe in Christ for eternal salvation. But not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. When Christ was on the cross, he just didn't die for the sins of the ones who would believe in him. He died for the sins of the whole world. And that makes anyone, any place, anywhere, potentially can have the gift of eternal life because Christ paid the penalty for all the sins of the world. Unlimited atonement. 9, in his infinite and matchless grace, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God would love to see every single person, every member of humanity, believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal salvation. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but for all to come to repentance, to change their thinking, and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it's simply pistevo, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's simply faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, but the one who does not believe God, the one who does not believe the testimony of God, hath made him, God, a liar. This is the perfect active indicative of poieo plus the accusative singular of autos plus the accusative singular of pselstes. Now we have the verb poieo. P-O-I-E long O. Poieo. All right, a couple of things on this verb. One, poieo means to do or to make. To do or to make. And we have this in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense is the intensive perfect. In other words, the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action, or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, the unbeliever, who rejects the grace gospel, performs the action of the verb. And the indicative mood is declarative. This is reality. This is certainty. This is fact. 2, poieo often takes a double accusative, as it does in our verse right here, a double accusative. The one who hears the grace gospel and does not believe in Jesus Christ, he poieos. He makes first accusative him, God, the second accusative, pselstes, a liar. Double accusative. The one who hears the grace gospel and does not believe in Jesus Christ, he poieos, he makes him, God, a liar. 4. Anyone who rejects the grace gospel is simply calling God a liar. Anyone who rejects the grace gospel is simply calling God a liar. Five, he has rejected the living and true God's testimony, given through the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. He has rejected the living and true God's testimony given through the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. 6. The unbeliever who rejects the grace gospel is not only extremely arrogant, but he also blasphemes the living and true God. He blasphemes the living and true God. The unbeliever who rejects the grace gospel is not only extremely arrogant, but he also blasphemes the living and true God. 7. God is veracity. God is infinite and absolute truth. God is veracity. God is infinite and absolute truth. Eight, God is not a man that he should lie. God has never lied. God levels with us. God levels with the whole human race. He levels with everyone. What he has given in his word is absolute truth. He levels with us. He never, ever lies. There are no lies. God does not lie to us in his word. Turn over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. Old Testament. Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. You might wonder, where did I get that God is not a man that he should lie? Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Do what he says in his word? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. Now turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Start at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the epinosis knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. That's Elsebeia, living the spiritual life. Of faith and knowledge resting on the confidence, the word hope, helpeth, on the confidence of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the beginning of time. All right, now turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 18. In order that by two immutable things, what are those two immutable things? The Word of God and the person of God, the essence of God, in order that by two immutable things, God's word and God's person, in which it is impossible, impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. It is impossible for God to lie. By two immutable things, His Word and His essence, His person. Hebrews 6:18. So again, point eight, God is not a man that He should lie. Nine, so by rejecting the grace gospel, the unbeliever blasphemes God by calling Him a liar. By rejecting the grace gospel, the unbeliever blasphemes God by calling Him a liar. So we have, but the one who does not believe God, the testimony of God, has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the perfect active indicative of pistewo with the objective negative u plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular of marturia with the definite article. Ha ti now again, this time, once again, a causal conjunction, correctly translated, because, and then our the favorite word here for John, pistewo, with the objective negative u, he has not believed, because he has not believed. And then the preposition ace in and martyria in the testimony. Because he has not believed in the testimony that God gave of his son. We have the accusative singular feminine of the relative pronoun host, plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article, plus the perfect active indicative of martyreo, plus the prepositional phrase peri, plus the genitive singular of huios with the definite article, and the genitive singular of autos. So we have a relative pronoun host, H-O-S, host. It's a relative pronoun, and the relative pronoun always has an antecedent, and it refers back to its antecedent, martyria, and therefore it should be translated which testimony, ha theos, the God, God the Father, and then martyreo. Which testimony, the God, God the Father, martyreod. M-A-R-T-U-R-E, long O, martyreod. Again, a couple of points. One, once again, martyreo means to bear witness, to be a witness, or to testify concerning someone. To bear witness, to be a witness, to testify concerning someone. Two, God the Father has testified concerning his son. God the Father has testified concerning his son. The perfect tense is a dramatic perfect, and the dramatic perfect describes the fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The active voice, God the Father has given this testimony concerning his Son, his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed Scriptures. 3, God the Father's testimony concerning his Son is Operation Grace. God the Father's testimony concerning his Son is Operation Grace. The Father designed Operation Grace. The Father designed the plan of salvation. But God the Son, the eternal Son, from his own free will, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." He willingly said to the Father, "Yes, sir, I will do it." And that is, well, we're going to have communion this Sunday. And he said, "Yes, sir," to the Operation Grace, knowing he would have to leave heaven. He would have to leave glory. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would have to humble himself and take on true humanity. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would be rejected by his own people and treated as a common criminal. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would be beaten to the point his closest friends could hardly recognize him. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would have to carry his own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And he said, "Yes, sir," knowing that when he got there, he would be crucified. And through all of that, there was a lot of suffering. But none of that suffering provided salvation for you and for me. It was what happened next. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing that while he was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on him, and judge them in him. And knowing that, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." God the Father's testimony is concerning his Son in Operation Grace. 4, it includes the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know, that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. 5, it includes his salvation work on the cross. Those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. should have been the brightest time of the day, but God brought a supernatural darkness over the land right in the middle of the day. Why? Because now he's gathering up the sins of the world, pouring them out on his Son, and judging them in him. 6, the Father's testimony is the grace gospel. The Father's testimony is the grace gospel. Seven, the Father's testimony includes the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And then the preposition peri, concerning, to huiu autu, his Son, concerning his Son. So here is the parenthesis now, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has this testimony, this witness in himself. But The one who does not believe God has made him, God, a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony which God has testified concerning his Son. Close parenthesis. Powerful, powerful parenthesis. Now that sets us up for 1 John 5:11 and 12, where we have the testimony from God. 1 John 5:11 and 12. We'll start there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.